Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Say it again if you will.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. That's the spirit we ought to be in all of the time, because we have and we serve a good God. We know that only because of that goodness are we here today. Not because of how good we are. Let us remember that at all times. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, starting at verse number 11 and going through verse number 19. We'll revisit that later, but what I want you to take note of is verse number 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. This is what we're going to be basing our subject on this morning. They met Jesus. They met Jesus. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer, if you will. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, it is such an honor and a blessing and a privilege to be able to be out here this morning in your house. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us to be here this morning, not because of us, but because of you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your darling Son who went up Calvary's hill, hung on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Father, that we have an opportunity for eternal life. We thank you for each and every one that's here today, and we pray for those who still may be on their way this morning, that they may get here safely and securely. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and their families. Thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families. And we pray and thank you for each and every member here today as well as our visitors, if we have visitors this morning. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything that you do for us, everything you do to us, and everything you do through us. We thank you, O Lord. Thank you now, my Heavenly Father, as we approach this hour of worship service. We just pray that we do things that you may find us decently and in order. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in, especially those who are members of the household of faith, and in particular those who are members of this household of faith. We thank you, Lord, and pray for their speedy recovery, that they may be able to be with us at the next appointed time. Father, we thank you and we pray and ask you to bless all of those who stand in the need of prayer immediately this morning. Father, we know everybody has a need for prayer, but we're asking for those who are in desperate need of prayer, especially, O Lord, as we pray one for another. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for our politicians, O Lord, that they may not make any rules and regulations that we find it impossible based on your word to follow. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the public servants in our lives, the doctors, the nurses, the policemen, the firemen, all those that we can call upon in our times of need. We thank you for the service people who are serving all over the world to keep us safe. We just pray for them and their families. And we also pray this morning, Father, for anyone that has lost a loved one. We just pray for those people over in Paris. And we pray for the people over in Turkey, that uprisings are happening all around the world. We know that you are capable and able to squash any uprising that occurs. But, Father, we just thank you for everything and all things. Now, my Heavenly Father, go with us now as we journey off into your word. Be with us and watch over and keep us. In the name of Jesus, let us say amen. Today, we look at a familiar story from the pages of the Word of God. This story has applications for us today as well. In this story, we find 10 men, all who were lepers. So they had the same needs in their minds. They wanted to be clean from their disease. A leper is one who has leprosy, was considered to be an outcast of society at that time. But Jesus looked at them, and as he was passing through Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem, he encountered these hopeless and helpless men whom no one else cares about. When no one else cares about us, Jesus still does. Let us consider for a few minutes from the Word of God. These men were in need of a Savior. They were in need of saving. Leprosy was an awful thing to have, just as living in sin is just an awful thing or state to be in. One thing that we all need, whether in sin or having awful disease, we need deliverance from our troubles. No matter what you may achieve in this life, we still need a Savior, and that is Jesus. A harsh reality is shown to us in Matthew chapter 16, in the verses number 26, where it raises this question: for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Everyone has a soul of his own, so the question is for all of us. It lets us know that whatever we achieve in this life, the one who has mercy at his disposal is Jesus. They all needed Jesus, for he alone can save. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We all need to understand that Jesus is the only way to heaven. According to John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus is both the way to abundant life as well as everlasting life. Salvation means deliverance from danger. And it comes from the love of God. In the case of these 10 lepers, they knew what they needed. They needed mercy, so they asked for mercy. So they came humbly. They didn't offer Jesus anything in exchange for this salvation, this mercy that they were asking for. They simply asked for what they needed, and that was mercy. When one is ailing, they usually are only interested in being made whole. In our neediest moments, we can come to the Lord in humility. Do you recall in Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through about verse number 14, where there were two men, one a Pharisee and one a publican, and they began to pray. The one of them spoke all about himself, telling God how great he was. He even prayed about his giving habits. While on the other hand, the publican was humble in his approach to God, and he asked God to be merciful to him, a sinner. Jesus said, "Everyone that lifts himself up shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." The lesson for us in Luke 18 and 10 through 14 is simple. Don't go to God thinking that you are more than you really are. Don't go to God telling God how good and how great you are. He already knows, for he keeps the record. He knows our time of birth. He knows our ups and our downs. He knows what we are going to do before we do it, and he knows every man, every hair on every man's head. And just in case you don't have any hair on your head, if it ever grows back, he knows where each strand is supposed to be at. He knows where it should be at when it grows back, if it comes back. So then when we look at the text, let us go through the text now, starting at verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that when they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and was a Samaritan. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found, they are not found that return to give glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith made thee whole. Now when you consider the fact that Jesus gave them what they were looking for, he gave them the mercy they needed, he gave them the deliverance that they were looking for. They were seeking deliverance from their awful disease. God can give us deliverance and give us, show us mercy if we just would go and ask him. But I like how the text showed him in verse number 12 there. And when he, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. In verse number 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When it comes to having mercy, we need Jesus to give mercy unto us. When we need help beyond our controls, these are the times we need Jesus. 10 men, as was the custom, they met Jesus, they stood afar off. By law, they were to keep their distance from others because they were considered outcasts in the society that they lived in. But the text says in verse number 14, that Jesus saw them, and as they were asking, stood asking for mercy upon themselves. When we need someone of whom we know is able to help us, that's when we need the Lord the most. We need mercy from the Lord. We need Jesus. Here that these 10 needed deliverance or saving from their ailments. When we are in the throes of sin or sickness, we need deliverance from our ailments also. They needed someone or some way out of what they were going through. You ever been in a situation where it just seems like there was no way out without that you had in your mind? There was no way for you to get out of it. That's when you need Jesus. Jesus gave them an answer to their request for mercy in verse 14. He told them in verse number 14, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now I got to explain a moment there. Do not think for any moment that Jesus could not have cleansed them on the spot. But Jesus, I believe, was just taking notice if they were faithful and obedient enough to follow his instruction. But as they went, they were cleansed and they were given what they asked for, mercy. They were delivered. Ask the Lord for something, and when the time is right, it may not be when you think the time is right, but when the time is right, that's when God is ready to give, when the time is right. Verse number 15 said, one of them glorified God, and he did it out loud. When God gives it to us, gives us something, we should be willing to give him the glory. Whether it be like others or whether it be just like yourself, when God gives, we ought to thank him. Whether God fixed you from a toothache or fixed your broken body, we need to say, thank you, Lord. The other 9 are like many of us today that get fixed and don't ever come back to the Lord again. They get fixed and they say, I'm all right now, so I'm doing well now, and I don't really need anybody or the Lord right now. That's the attitude. That may not be the speech that they use, but that's the attitude. But the one, I like the one because he came back. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. To those nine who didn't come back, they missed out on an opportunity to praise the Lord. You know, it's good when you can praise the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord every day when you get up. You ought to start out by saying a prayer of thank you for getting up. You know, you didn't have to get up in the morning. You don't have to get up every morning. It's not because you're pretty that you get up. It's not because you're so great that you get up. It's because God has seen fit to allow us to get up. When one comes before the church to ask for deliverance or seeking our Savior, don't think that you don't need to return to the Lord after one has been delivered. Come back and let others know that God does work. The text does not tell us how long these ten had been suffering, but it does tell us what faith and obedience can do for us. It helps us to know that the Lord is able to work around time. It was faith that made him whole. Today you may not be able to meet Jesus face to face yet, but we have his words and in the Bible to guide us and instruct us. If you are in need of a Savior, there is but one, and that is the name of Jesus. He has bread for the hungry. He has water for the thirsty. He has shelter in the time of storms in our lives. If your life is adrift in the turmoil, he is our peace in turmoil. If we are ready, he can fulfill our needs. If he offers unto us more life, life more abundantly. Yes, he is our everything for anything. Have you met Jesus? If you have not, you need to look at the change it made for these ten in our text. For he is able to do the same for us today. Look at the text once again, if you will, in verse number 15. And when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? I sometimes ask the question, where are all the church members today? Where are all the people that they owe God something? They owe God their very life. They are not found that return to give glory to God in verse number 18. Save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. When God makes you whole, you owe him some kind of praise. You ought to give him the praise, for he didn't have to make us whole again. He could have just told this man to go, these ten men, to go along their merry way, but he told them to go and see the priest, and he cleansed them while they were on their way to see the priest. That's what faith will do for you. Faith can fix you up in an instant. Faith can fix you while you're on your way to getting fixed. I tell you, God is all right this morning. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. When your life seems though it's going to turn you upside down, you need Jesus. I'll tell you something about Jesus. He's always on duty. He doesn't respect what we call the holidays. He doesn't work only 6 or 7 hours a day. He works 24/7, and his line is always open. Now, I'm not saying that every time you hit a snag in your life that God is going to answer you right away, because he takes his time, not our time. He considers the whole picture, the big picture, and he knows those he wants to heal and when he wants to heal them, whatever their situation may be calling for. But I like what he did when he told this man, he said, go show yourself unto the priest. But and then when you read the next part of it, it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. They didn't get all the way there. They just went on their way and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, when you consider the fact that this man was a stranger to Jesus, Jesus said, the Bible said he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said and answered and said, are they not cleansed, but where are the nine? And they found that they returned to give glory to God, that are not found to give, return to give glory to God. Save this stranger. That's the word I wanted to come out of the scripture. That this man was a stranger. But you know something? God knows all of us. He knows every last one of us. He knows all about us. When I said he knows the record, he keeps our records. He knows the record. He knows everything. Unlike some of us who don't remember our records, God knows our records. God is the record keeper, if you will. And I tell you something else about God. He can be here, he can be there, and he's everywhere at the same time. God is all right this morning, church. And when you think about what your needs are, and if you can't fulfill them yourself, you need the Lord to help you fulfill whatever your needs are. And I'm not just talking about simple things that you need, because God said he would supply all of our needs. But he also said he would give us abundant life as well. Now, when I consider what we like to think of as abundant life, most of us, the first thing comes to mind is a lot of money. That's an abundant life. But you see, money can mess you up, church. I know what we like to think, that money will take care of everything. Now, money will not take care of everything, church. You still need the love of God. And if money would take care of everything, a lot of us would be on the outside looking in. At least I'm speaking of me. I'm not talking about you because you probably got more money than I got. But I'm thinking about, for the most part, if you don't have money, some people go crazy when they don't have money. Do you remember back in the Great Depression when people were throwing themselves out of windows because they didn't have money? Those same people that threw themselves out of the windows because they were losing so much money in the stock market and on the stock market, if they had just waited on the Lord would fix everything. He brought society back around again. And you know, Market Street it treats us sometimes unfairly because they tell us to go out and buy this, because this is the end thing to have right now. And then Wall Street, on the other hand, tells us over on this side to save your money. Don't spend your money. So one is telling you to spend and the other one is telling you to save. So you know what? You have to go to God in prayer. Lord, do I really need that? Or do I really need this? And you have to make a decision with the Lord through prayer of what you need to spend your money on. Now, when you have a lot of money, most people with a lot of money don't really care about religion. And they don't care about the Lord. Most people, I'm not saying all people, most people, they think completely different when they have money. When you have money, you don't care about what thus saith the Lord, for the most part. You think about, how am I going to get more money? How am I going to make more money? How am I going to keep this money that I've got? But the Lord can give us abundant life if we just serve Him. When I think on the matter even further, I ask myself the question, Lord, if I had money, would I be a different individual? Well, I'd be an individual with more money. I don't know if I'd be different or not. I might think a little different. That's why so many people are out there playing the lottery every day, because they have these dreams of big money. You know, some of those numbers that they give us in the lottery, they're numbers impossible to even think of. What are you going to do if you get $300 or $400 million? Will the church see you again? Will you still come and serve the Lord, or will you be off on your merry way? And if you got that kind of money in your, that kind of power in your hand, would you really know what to do with it? I guess that's why some folk who think small go to the riverboat instead of playing the lottery. I'm just saying that, you know, they think about, I can deal with a couple of $100 or a couple of $1,000, but I wouldn't know how to deal with $300 or $400 million. So I tell you something about that. If you get all of this money, let me see, do I have enough time to go through this? If you get all of this money in your possession, what will happen to you? What will you become? Oh, I know you'll go out and buy yourself some clothes. You'll probably go buy yourself a house and a new car. Or you'll be like some folk, you'll buy several cars. And you have to ask yourself, and I speak from experience on this matter, you have to ask yourself, how many of them can you drive at one time? How many suits can you wear at one time? How many shirts can you wear at a time? The answer to all those questions is one. Just one. You can only wear one suit at a time. You can only drive one car at a time. You can even only live in one house at a time. Oh, you can alternate and go to one on Monday and another one on Tuesday, but you still can't use but one at a time. Now, I realize that some of us with a lot of money, and I'm not speaking from experience on this point, some of us with a lot of money don't know the power of the dollar. They assume that the dollar will get everything they ever wanted and all that and more. But money can buy you a watch, but it can't buy you time. I know you've heard this before. Money can make you well, but it can't make you a new person. Money cannot do everything you want it to do. Money cannot do everything you think it should allow you to do. But it's good to have that problem, isn't it? To have enough money that you can make the decisions you like to make. Some of us will say something to the effect that I'd give my right hand if I had enough money to satisfy me. Well, then, most of you might give your right hand for a little bit of money, because a little bit of money might satisfy you, because you won't know what to do with a lot of it. But what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about how good God is. That's all I'm talking about. And God is not going to send you to the riverboat and give you the lottery winnings on His account. Now, some of folks will tell you in a minute, God was in the plan. God didn't send you over there to play at Horseshoe Casino. God didn't send you down to the corner store to buy a lottery ticket. You can make it up in your mind that God told me to go play this number if you want to. But I'm telling you all about everything that I can think of about this. Because God was good to those 10 lepers, He'll be just as good to you if you got a situation where you need deliverance from. He delivered them from their sickness. And they were into an awful sickness. They were into a sickness that cast them out of society. They were in a sickness that they didn't have any hope, and they didn't have any help, Now, I don't know, the verses doesn't tell us if they had already tried the local doctors, because the doctors were probably afraid for them to come around them. But the one thing I do know, I don't know how long they suffered, but one thing I do know, they met the right person when they met Jesus. Have you met the right person? Have you met Jesus? Have you met him in the pardoning of your sin? Have you met him in your abilities, in all of your abilities, and all of the things that you need? Have you met him? And I like it this morning, because in Bible class, in the Bible class this morning, it was talking about Christian marriages. And I like that. You know, marriage is a subject that's dear to me. And it was speaking of Christian marriages, the goodness of a Christian marriage. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, who wouldn't want to have a good marriage? Who wouldn't want to be at peace? You know, the Bible speaks of a brawling woman, a brawling wife. But I tell you something, having peace in your house is one of the greatest attributes you can have. When you got two people staying under one roof, somebody is going to get on somebody's nerves. There's just no way around it. I don't like the way you scrape the toast this morning. I don't like the way you sip your coffee. Well, I tell you something about that. If there's peace in the house, you can get over and around all that kind of stuff. But you got to meet Jesus first. You got to have a Christian marriage. You got to be able to reach out to somebody when you're in your times of need. That's why I think so much of a basement in a house. If I get into it with my wife, I'll go in the basement. And she can stay upstairs. See, that's why I tell you that God can make a way out of no way for you. If he gives you a basement, learn to use that basement before you open your mouth sometimes. These 10 lepers, when they met Jesus, all they did was open their mouth. Have mercy on us. Have mercy. Give us mercy, if you will. That's all they asked for. Sometimes all we need to do is ask the Lord for whatever it is that's in our hearts and in our minds. Now, I don't mean silly things like make me free of all my debts. Well, God didn't go out there and make them debts for you. So you got to pay them. And trust me, you are going to pay them. But one thing I do know, that whatever we need, God already can provide. He can provide it for us. It's just a matter of if he will. Sometimes when you ask God for something, he has three answers. Wait, okay, I'll give it to you, or I'm not going to give it to you. But you just have to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, just like these 10 men did. They met Jesus. And they began to talk to him afar off, the Bible said, because they couldn't go up to him because they were lepers. But God has made it possible for us to come close to him. Every time you fall on your knees, you can become close to God. If you just pray and ask him. When you come in prayer, you can ask God for whatever it is that you need of him. Because one day, you're going to meet him face to face, but today you won't meet him face to face. But one day you will. Once appointed to man to die, after death comes the judgment. Then the judgment comes. So how do you get on a basis where you can meet the Lord? Well, how can I meet the Lord, I should say? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized in the water behind me here. The water is ready. Brother Jackson is ready. The church is ready for baptism if you haven't come already. If you're already a member of the Lord's body, you need to go back to the Lord if you walked astray. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Come forward. Ask the church to pray with you and for you, that you may gather strength and continue on in a life of with the Master. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.